and Baid gallops past Mishriff and goes on inside the final furlong. That was really impressive, and Jim Crowley's looking round here, and this is going to be brilliant. There's no question he loves the distance, and it's a perfect 10 for Baid in the Judmont. Wow, he's won by 6 lengths. Mishriff in second, Sir Busker close.
6 lengths. The old champion, the old conquering champion, Baid, 10th straight victory for the champ. And Matty Stewart would have been up watching all that, 16 to 7 on a Thursday morning. Good morning, Matthew.
Good morning, Daniel and Adam.
Baid, your favourite horse in the world, isn't it?
Well, it's tricky in life when you've got it always compared to the previous one who was the greatest of all time. And all through his career, he's followed the same footsteps as Frankel. And the comparisons have been unfair because they're probably a bit lopsided because Frankel's the greatest of all time. But Darrakin last night was the first night. This was in the Judmont at York where people said, wow, Baid, let's stop talking about Frankel. Let's just look at Baid. And sadly, it was his second last run. He's only got one more run, and it's just the way racing is, where at the peak of their game, they tend to be plucked away from the racetrack. But
he's going away to the barn, is he?
He's a barn dweller.
I know it's reality, but it's not good for racing.
It sucks.
It isn't good for racing.
No, I don't think it is. I mean, the elite have their little cycle when they have their top colts, and then they take them to stud, and it's all. But it's a bit isolating for people like you and I who just want to see a horse like Baid go around.
But I understand it, Matty, and so I'm not saying they're doing the wrong thing, but that's when it's not a sport, it's a business.
It's kind of an industry, isn't it? Well, I guess when you know, it means that when they do race, you just take it all in.
Yeah.
And last night was the first time he ran against a horse called Mishriff, who I think's the highest-earning stakes horse in the history of the world because he won the Saudi Cup. And Mishriff didn't miss the start last night, so we got a reasonable measure of actually how good Baid is, because we saw him against a Mishriff who presented in nearly top of his game type scenario. A lot of the best horses are running away from him. They all ran in France last week just to get away from Baid, and that was an indication why. That was one of the most emphatic performances I think I've seen for a long, long time on a racetrack, and be loved to have been there. I nearly saw Baid, but I went sideways.
No, don't go down this path.
You had your opportunity to change the strip and you butchered it, mate.
Yeah.
You were too busy.
David Kosh would say, it's on Australian.
Are you now saying you regretted the
decision? No, I have no regrets. I regret nothing. So that was Baid, eh? So there you go.
We love Baid. He's coming out for the cup. Is Baid coming out for the cup?
No, he's not. No, just checking. He's a bit beyond that. If we could ever get a Baid for a Cox Plate, it would be the coup of the century. So, hey, there's a terrific story unfolding in Adelaide where at Morpheville Parks yesterday, you'll know the surname, Stacey Callow.
Oh, yes.
Rode 3 winners, and she rode one at Port Augusta the day before. She's now ridden about 20 winners in a very short period over there. She didn't make the cut for the Victorian Jockey School. For whatever reason, I mean, there's a criteria and you've got to tick all the boxes. I mean, Dylan Dunn didn't make the cut a few years ago, and then they go to Adelaide, you know, as a secondary option
like a repercharge.
Repercharge, yeah. Like,
so if you don't get drafted in the AFL, you go to the Sandful.
It's almost a Sandful story. And, I'm not sure exactly. I'll talk to the apprentices school about why, Stacey Callow didn't make the cut. There's all sorts of reasons why jockeys don't make the cut for the apprentices school. There's usually an intake of 6 or 7 every year, and mostly they're girls. You know, it's going to get to the stage where they're all going to be girls. So, but Stacey, after missing the cut here, didn't quite fulfil the required criteria, has gone over there and she's absolutely killing it. She rode 3 at Morpheville Parks yesterday. Really, really looks a really ready-made jockey, and she'll find her way back. She's the daughter of Noel, former King of Singapore Callow, who's actually currently...
Is that his official name? Like Triple Brownlow medalist Bobby Skilton, former King of Singapore
Callow? It's hard if you want to get it out, if you're having a go. I'm like, come here, Triple Brownlow medalist Bobby Skilton. King Callow's in a bit of strife, actually. He's been hit with betting offences, so...
Oh.
And Stacey was going to study law. So she could have defended her own father had things worked out.
Is he the one that got squeezed on the rail on Queen of the Hill at Flemington and Lee Friedman gave him a basting?
You have the most bizarre memories.
Yeah, because you obviously backed it.
No, I didn't.
No?
No, far from.
Did your brother part own Queen of the Hill? Sorry.
Nice work.
Raw wound.
Nice work.
Raw wound.
And I just remember that. I just remember Lee Friedman and the body language in the mounting yard afterwards. For whatever reason, I was watching that day. It must have been a big day, was it?
Well, Noel's always been I remember he and Mick Price told me a story, because Mick can be rough around the edges as well. And when Noel was his apprentice, he said we spent most of our time, you know, like in one of those cartoon, rolling around punching. So it was very, very volatile there. But I love this story of Stacey Keller, because I know she'd spent a bit of time with Mick Kent, and there was some frustration that she didn't make the cut for the Victorian apprentices. It's not an up yours, but it's a, hey, this is an opportunity to show what I can do. And, you know,
but good on her for continuing on and going elsewhere and still trying to be the best that she can. That's awesome news.
Well, exactly. And I know kids, it's very hard. You get one chance at it, and then you're told, this isn't just the Victorian one, but you're told, come back in 12 months.
Yeah.
12 months is a hell of a long time to miss out on something like that and tick over and go again 12 months later. Maybe they should consider a secondary intake 6 months later just to keep them on the lure. You know, so they don't get too sidetracked.
Or bridging opportunities somewhere, doing something.
Yeah.
It's like The Voice. Sometimes they just need some more time when they get told they're not going through.
Well, I think the apprentices school should probably use The Voice template.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
They're just not ready.
I'm not sure that's a successful formula.
They need more life experience.
But just maybe bridging opportunities to get them to a point where they do become, in the eye of whoever is marking them, the level required to continue on.
Yeah, and sometimes I think they've got to make allowances for things that aren't absolutely perfect. Do you need to be the absolutely perfect citizen? Not saying this is related to Stacey Callow. Do you need to be the absolute perfect citizen to become involved in an apprentice's school for an industry that where you're not? It's not the number one priority necessarily. You want to learn. You want to know how to ride first. So,
pardon my ignorance here, but say they didn't pass the apprentice school situation, could they go and ride at the picnics as like a secondary competition?
Yes, I reckon you can. There's a girl, Ange, who was up at Gerald Egan's when I was up there, who really desperately wanted to be a jockey, but she was big boned, slender but big boned.
Yep.
And that's, I think, me. She's now thinking, okay, well, I'll go down the picnic path. Like, we're all big boned.
Hey, speak for yourself.
We've got enormous calves. that is an option.
Second tier competition.
Going sideways
sort of thing
to South Australia. Yeah. I remember Raquel Clark. I think it was Raquel or Rachel. Yeah. Raquel Clark, star Tasmanian apprentice, deemed underqualified, even though she'd ridden 100 winners, to ride in Melbourne. She ended up in Adelaide and did well. Adelaide, I'm not saying I was going to say it's a dumping ground. It's not. Jess Eaton, Kayla Crowther, Claire Lindop. Adelaide's a real opportunity for those.
So, is that where Jamie started?
Jamie Lee Carr was Adelaide. Yeah. Yep. Grew up on a little farm in the Adelaide Hills with mum and dad, the speed skaters.
So whatever they're doing over there, particularly with their female jockeys, is working a treat.
Well, I just think it's an environment that they feel that they can. It's not, you're not looking around and seeing Damien Oliver and Damien Lane and Ben Mellum everywhere you go, so which would be horrific. anyway, so any jockeys out there? Just back to Bayeed. I've asked a few about this, and I remember Mellum rode Black Caviar one day, and I said, "What was that like?" He said, "I don't know. Just felt like a normal horse, but she just seemed to go faster." But I reckon jockeys like. You know, like, you've had the absolute privilege. Why did I, walking on the MCG is something like, we go, wow, you know, have a little kick for goal. I used to do it at Victoria Park. I used to sit behind the cheer squad with Laurie Smith.
Laurie?
Yeah, his mum used to hang around in the social rooms after the game. So Laurie and I were the last kids kicking the footy at Victoria Park at 9 o'clock. It was quite a sad sight. But I reckon jockeys out there look at Bayeed and go, God, I'd love to have a spin on him.
Well, I've just watched the replay while you were talking before. Everything else was hard ridden, long way out, and Bayeed was just sort of tucking in behind, going, oh, how good's this?
Yeah, don't you like the grandeur of their races? Like the they take a big panning shot, and then you see him swing for home, and you see the whole length of the straight. And I'm an unabashed, and this is un-Australian, I know, but I so much prefer, and I'm going to get absolutely shot down for this, I prefer their racing.
Why?
It's more true.
Purely for the aesthetics?
It's true. They run at a better gallop. Their champions are put to the bet more acid than ours. We ride for luck. They ride for greatness in most of their stretched out distance races. So
the thing that drives me bananas about the international racing scene, particularly the English and UK scene, is that there's only ever six horses in a race.
I don't mind it if they run at a proper gallop. if it's six horses and they just crib and crawl and then, you know, like a, you know, those Anna Mears type scenario with the bike riding, they stop. The although that was a
individual
great
pursuit.
With Vicky Pendleton, like, I don't like that in everyday sport, but no, I love their racing. When you see Bayeed win in full flight, there's no unanswered questions. That's it. Big statement, and there he goes. He's got one more.
Which is what?
Can we get there? Can we? OBs, what's the stretching limit?
Steve-O loves an OB, so I think if you take that out the back to Mark Stevens, he will make sure that that is done. I think
and we need a King Island OB to save him.
Yeah, we'll save King Island. I'm up for that.
We need a Bayeed OB. If we can get Bayeed to King Island,
that'd be a big day.
Who's capable of such accomplishing such a thing?
What's is Lloyd listening? Is Lloyd still listening? Lloyd could help us out.
Lloyd listens, yeah.
Mr. Williams, if you are listening, 0416905052, just let us know if you can get Bayeed to the King Island races.
And well, we'd like to play Capital anytime too.
I played there once. I told you about that.
I know, yeah.
When I under-ordered for lunch. I told you. Rocked up. And we all rocked up in our cars. And there's people queued up waiting there. I managed to organise a game. The course was cleared. True story. Lloyd was there with Vaughan Summers practicing.
Yeah.
And this, thank you, Lloyd, if you're listening. It was a great, magnificent day. But then the head waiter said, what would you guys like for lunch? I said, well, you know. She said, you'll have lunch after your first nine holes. And I panicked. And I said, toasted ham and cheese sandwiches. I said, what can we have? And she said, anything you like. And she meant it. I could have ordered triple roasted duck and couscous and all
couscous
sorts of
things. Wouldn't be ordering couscous.
Bed of jus.
A waste. Jus.
A jus. So,
yeah. Anyway, well, I'm going to go and watch Bayeed again.
Can you
put
go
a bit
watch
of pep
Bayeed,
in my
please?
Step.
We need to get a win on the Illy Mail. Sort of, we're looking for the next Bayeed at Chuka today.
Good luck.
I think we can find it. Bet365 at Chuka Racing today. The Illy Mail coming up after this on The Breakfast Club. Thank you, Matthew.